You would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Have you ever stopped and wondered what the meaning of your life is? Have you ever felt like there's not much of a meaning to your life? You just kind of get through the, like you're the hamster running on that wheel. You're just doing the same things over and over again, and you're wondering, what is the purpose of this? What is the significance of my life? And sometimes when you wrestle with those things, you go numb at some point. You just start to feel empty. You know, you can't think about it that much anymore, and you kind of go on autopilot. Has anybody ever gone on autopilot before? You're just kind of floating through life, and you just kind of feel empty. You just kind of feel a little lacking in value. And what is that? What is it that brings us to that place? And a big part of it is linked to, believe it or not, your body. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, at the second half of the chapter, he talks about the church, the body of Christ, being like a body. And he talks about how when one part of the body grieves, the other parts grieve with it. Now, I don't know about you, but the older you get, the more you start to discover that there's parts of your body that you didn't realize were there. You know, like muscles that you had no idea was a very important muscle until it got strained, and then now you know that muscle is right where it is, and it's a very important part, and it serves a purpose. And a lot of our emptiness, our security, our sense of value and worth is linked to whether or not we're living out God's design for our lives, whether or not we're achieving the purpose that God has created us for. And the more we are outside of that, the more we have a sense of meaninglessness and emptiness and insecurity, and a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the stress and a lot of the who am I kind of thing is linked to that. Am I in the center of God's will for my life? Am I living out God's design? Because once I do, if I can land that and live out God's design for my life, then this sense of purpose, this sense of meaning surfaces, and then this joy surfaces, and this peace surfaces, and this confidence emerges in that place. But I have to know how to get into that space. And the body of Christ is not one member, but it's many members, a part of one thing. And so your purpose isn't to go it alone. There's a proverb that says that a man who tries to stay alone breaks out against all sound judgment. Because I'm not designed to be alone or to work alone. I am designed to work with other people. We're in this together. Did you know that? In order to face life and face our challenges and figure things out and to achieve the things that we were created for, we have to be in this together. We have to work with one another. And so that's why we've been walking through this series. What is it that I need to be doing as an individual part of this whole? And part of it is I have to keep the faith. I have to keep believing. Because what does the Bible say in Hebrews? That I cannot please God unless I have faith. And the kind of faith I have to have isn't just simply that God exists, but I have to believe that if I do all of these things that he's told me to do, that it will go well for me, that at some point everything will turn out. And so do you believe that? Do you believe if you keep praying, if you keep serving, if you keep studying his word, if you keep doing the mission, if you keep ministering, that at some point it's going to be great for you? Do you believe in the people around you? Because love believes all things. Do you believe that the people around you are capable of doing great things? Do you believe that this church is capable of doing great things? Because if we lack that faith, the ability of the whole is going to be hindered by that lack of faith. And so when I face obstacles and hardships and things that are confusing, what do I need to do with that? I need to keep believing. I also need to keep supporting. What does James say? He says that faith, when we say we have faith, but we see someone who needs something and we have the capacity to meet that need and we don't do anything about that need, what good is that faith? Because God's expectation of faith is I keep believing so that I keep doing stuff. I keep supporting other people, encouraging other people, building each other up instead of tearing each other down. Would you rather have someone standing alongside you saying, you're lousy, you can't make it, or someone that was saying, you can do this, you can do this? Have you ever read Job? Picture Job's wife, right? In the midst of his struggle, Job's wife said, just curse God and die. Just give up. But we need someone to come along and say, no, come on, we can do this. Keep supporting. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 7, we saw a couple weeks ago that God loves a cheerful giver. We cannot achieve most things, unfortunately, in life take money, right? I don't know if you've discovered the secret of going to the grocery store and being able to walk out with food without paying any money. Have you figured that out yet? That's okay. That's just an alert. I don't know what that was, actually. The building's not on fire. All right, we're good. We're good. But have you ever figured that out? Have you figured out how to get your rent for free? Anybody figured out these things? A car for free? No. Things, to make things happen, usually it takes financial resources to make it happen. And so the church and its mission and the things that we try to achieve, it takes financial resources to make that happen. And so I need to keep giving to make that happen. And in the back, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, the giving challenge, that we had a bit of a shortage last year in giving. And so we're asking for you to prayerfully consider increasing your giving as you are able. And so there's more giving challenge slips at the back table. If you haven't done that yet, prayerfully consider, fill one out, and leave that back there, because finances are necessary to get things going. Then also, our aim last week is to get more people in this room. Right? That's what God wants, is to get more people in this room. And it's not just to say that there's this amount of people that are attending a service. It's because of what it represents. The more people you get in the room, the more people we can service and minister and help build up in their faith, the more people that are in the kingdom of God, the more people that can reach other people. And so there's a lot of significance to the numbers. If you've ever read Acts multiple times will say, and this many were added, and this many were added, and this many were added, because the numbers matter, and so we need to keep building. And then today, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So everybody has experienced or is offered to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. For what purpose? To make you feel good? To give you tingly feelings? You know, to take care of every one of your needs? Sometimes. But what is the actual purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The purpose of the work of the Spirit in my life, again, my design, the meaning to my life is to bring some value to other people. Now, we have a thing today where if, because of the way our cars are computerized, if something's wrong with your car, a mechanic can just hook this device up to it, and the device will give them a code, and it'll tell them what's wrong with the car. Now, I'm still waiting to be able to go to the doctor, and they hook my finger up to something, and they say, this is exactly what's wrong, and this is the treatment for it. Wouldn't that be great? But they haven't made a diagnosis machine yet for my body, but they have for a car. And a car has a lot of parts under that hood, right? Unless you drive one of those fancy electric cars that have like nothing in the hood. But most cars have a lot of parts under the hood, and any number of part can go wrong and can stop that car from running. A timing belt can break. Have you ever had a timing belt break? I have. I think anything in the list here I've had go wrong in my car. Timing belt. Fuel pump. Fuel pump goes. Alternator. Alternators are fun because their car's like going for a second, then it's not going, it's going for a second, then it's not going. Or radiator. Radiator go. I remember one time my old 1990 Oldsmobile Cutlass, I was driving from downtown trying to get to Fort Pitt Tunnel from work, and just smoke is just coming consistently out of the corner of my hood as I'm trying to get through there, and I'm stuck in traffic. It was running, though, but it was obviously running. It was smoking. Or transmission, you feel that pain, right? Transmission goes where you get up to a certain speed, and it's like, I can't go any further than this, can't go any faster. Transmission, you're out of luck, right? Or a bad battery, or a starter, and those are just seven parts. There are all kinds of parts that can go wrong with your car and stop it from running. Now, sometimes you can make do with something wrong with your car. My mother-in-law had a horn that wasn't working, and so she could whistle through her teeth. So she would roll the window down and whistle through her teeth for her horn. Or Heather, if I remember the story right, coming home from college, she had a slow oil leak in her car. So they had to stop and put more oil in the car every so often to make sure they can get the 14-hour drive home. I had that same Oldsmobile Cutlass. It was fancy. It had a digital everything, a digital speedometer, odometer, and a digital gas gauge. But every once in a while, I would just decide that it wouldn't work anymore, blink out. So I wouldn't know how fast I was going. I had no idea how much gas was in the car. Eventually, I learned that I just needed to top it off every week to make sure I didn't run out of gas. Because one time, I was going home from work. I was working at a place that was near Interstate 79 in Steubenville Pike. And I had to turn left to get onto Steubenville Pike. If you know the area, there's enough of a downhill there that if you run out of gas, you can kind of like coast downhill. So I come up to the light that's also a little bit of an incline, and my car stops. It's like, all right, when the light turns green, I'll turn this in neutral, and hopefully I have enough of a slope to get to turn left, and then from there I should be good. And I coasted over a mile with no gas from that intersection down to the gas station, and I didn't want to stop because I had to make sure it got close enough to the pump. So I came flying into the gas station and stopped right at a pump and made it over a mile without gas. So you can have a car that has a part not working, and you can make do with that. But it is much better if all the parts are working, right? It is much better if every part is working properly. You might have things like that. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your body. I mean, wouldn't it be right if all the parts were working? I mean, you can walk somewhere, but you're not very good, right? And so it would be great if, or maybe a computer or some piece of technology that it's working. You can make it work. You have a workaround. We have a word for that. You can jimmy-rig it, right? You can make it work, but it would work so much better, so much more efficiently if every part was working properly. Did you know the church works the same way? What if God had a diagnostic test for the church? What if he could plug a diagnostic machine up to Bethel Assembly of God and tell us which parts aren't working properly? Because that's the key to the growth of the church. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it says in Ephesians 4:16, it tells us what actually makes the body grow, what makes the church grow in number, what makes the church grow in spiritual maturity. Do you know what it is that makes the body grow? Listen to this phrase, Ephesians 4:16. This is what makes the body grow. When each part, what is the part? Each one of us are individual parts. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. And so the thriving of the church is dependent upon each part of the body working properly. We can please God if we keep serving. I've told you guys that, and I told you that last week. When do we stop serving in ministry? When we're dead, right? We have to have a till death attitude. As long as I have breath in me, take a deep breath for a second. Breathe out. You have just been recruited for ministry this morning. If you are alive, you have a purpose and a design. And to live outside of that is the reason why many people are depressed and suffer with emptiness and a sense of no meaning for their life, because they're not living the whole meaning that God has given for their life. And so I can please him if I keep serving. But how do I do that, and why should I do that? Again, 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. You were made for somebody else's benefit. So if I want to serve, I need to know why. Because sometimes we don't know the reasons, and we're not motivated to do it. And so if I know the reasons why I should be serving, I might be motivated to serve. And so we should serve in ministry for five reasons. The first, verses 4 to 6. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. Now, there are varieties of gifts. Now, it lays out three varieties here in these three verses. There's a variety of gifts. There's a variety of service. There's a variety of activities. And then it says a counter to it, but. It says, but the same Spirit, or the same Lord, or the same God who empowers them all. There are multiple different ways to do things. There are multiple different skills. There's multiple different dispositions towards life. But there is only one God that is moving things towards a common goal. And I want you to look at someone next to you and let them know, hey, you're different. And now I want you to look back at them and say, I know that's what makes me special. Right? We are different from one another, right? Have you ever been in someone's house and saw someone do something and you thought, that's different? right? Because we do things differently, we approach things differently, we are all different types of people. And sometimes that can be a problem, but sometimes it's wonderful. And we are different parts, but there is only one God that we're serving and one common goal that we're working towards. Now, think about what that is then. When you have multiple individuals involved working towards a common goal, what do you usually think of when you think of that? A team, right? Multiple people working towards a common goal, it's a team. You may not have realized this, but you are a part of a team. Now, it's not an NFL team, and some of you would say, thank the Lord for that. I'd be too broken to do that, right? But have you ever been a part of a team, maybe a company or a job, where there were people that weren't pulling their own weight, and then you are responsible, and then you pick up the slack, and what does that do? You know, it kind of slows it down, it kind of wears you out, it stresses you out, things aren't really working as well when all the parts aren't cooperating with one another. And so we, as a church, we are a team, and we are supposed to be working together, collaborating with each other towards a common goal. And when that doesn't happen, we don't move the ball forward towards that common goal. So why should I serve? Because other people are dependent upon me. Now, you might think, well, I don't know if other people are dependent upon me. And that is going to lead us through a sequence of four other reasons why we should serve that often are the reasons why people have a hard time jumping in to serving. And part of it is because some of you don't think you're able to serve. You don't think you have the capacity to do it. You don't think you're smart enough to do it. You don't think you have enough favor to do it. You don't think you deserve to do it. You don't think that you're able. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, it says it is God who empowers them. And then in verse 8, it says that how is it done? It is done through the Spirit. In verse 8, again, it's done according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, it's done by the same Spirit. Again, in 9, by the one Spirit. Of verse 11, they are empowered by the same Spirit. How is it that we have the capacity to serve God? It's not our intellect. It's not our physical capability. It's not our smooth way about ourselves. It's not our charisma. It's none of that. It's not our money. It's not our friendship skills. It's not our athletic skills. It's the Holy Spirit. And we know that statement in Scripture. We know that statement in song. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that is alive and active in you. And so when you think, I don't think I have the capacity for this, we need to remember that I don't need to have the capacity for it. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me that can empower me to be of benefit to other people. But maybe I feel out of place. Maybe I don't feel like I belong. Maybe I don't feel that there's anything special about me. Well, verse 6, who is being empowered? Everyone is. In verse 7, who's being empowered? To each. Each one is being empowered. In verse 11, we get that language again. Who's being empowered? Each one. God is empowering not just select people, not just the special people, not the people we think are the most important. God is empowering each one. If you are living, if you are alive, if you are in this room, God has chosen you for a specific task that nobody else can fulfill. What does Ephesians 2 says? We were created by God for a purpose, for good works that we should walk in them. God had a plan for your life, even if other people don't think so. You know that saying where sometimes when people want to insult someone, they point out that they were an accident? Isn't that an awful thing? You know, the parents didn't intend on having another child, and so it's pointed out to them that they were an accident. And maybe the parents didn't intend on that, but God intended on that. If you are alive, God has a specific role, a specific task for you, and he has given you every bit of the empowerment that you need to fulfill that task. All I need to do is discover what it is and step inside of that. But there's something else that distracts me from that, that makes me not capable of seeing this. And that is that sometimes I get so caught up with my own needs, my own pain, my own responsibilities, that I can't see that there's something out there for me to do. In fact, it says again in verse 7 that the whole reason for all of this is for the common good. When you receive that sweet peace that surpasses all understanding when you were praying the other day, God gave it to bless you, but he didn't give it just for you. He gave that stability to you so that you knew how to give it to somebody else. When you were struggling and depressed and the Lord stepped in and gave you the joy unspeakable and full of glory, he did not just give that to you to make you feel good. He gave that to you so that you would have the capacity and the strength and the motivation to serve somebody else. God has given you gifts, blessings, talent, personality, skills, resources, not just to make you happy. He has given it to you so that you can be of benefit to other people. But we have a hard time when my back's bother me, right? Or when my knees aren't working properly. Or when my mind's fuzzy. Have you ever had your mind fuzzy before? And then all I can think about is that I can't think straight, okay? And it says in the parable of the sower, there's multiple reasons why the Word of God does not have an impact. And one of them is the cares of this world. It chokes out the value of the Word. And so then when we get so focused on my emotions and how I'm feeling, my body and the condition of my health, the issues with my car, the issues with my house, my finances, my job, what's going on in the world, and all of that stuff, then we allow it to choke out the effectiveness of the Word and we don't do anything. Instead, we just keep tending to ourselves and we make no impact on the world. And we think that well, that's how we'll solve it. I'll take care of these things and then I'll help. That's what a lot of people do with ministry, is they think, once I get this taken care of, then I'll get involved in ministry. But that's backwards. That's not the way Jesus said it. Jesus didn't say, make sure to get what you need first, and then all these things will be added to you. Is that not the quotation he says in Matthew 6? Make sure you get your money. Make sure you get your health right. Make sure you feel good about life. Make sure you're feeling great. Then all these things will be added to you. No, he says, seek first his kingdom. And what is his kingdom? Seeking his presence to make you feel good? No, it's not to make you feel good. It's for the common good. I seek him, I pray, I study the word of God, I serve in ministry, I seek the mission. That's the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. There are people among us in this room right now who have been pursuing that and have been discovering that they have found joy and peace and a sustaining power that they've not known once they got their minds off of making sure that they were feeling better and they got their minds on the kingdom of God. If you want to have meaning and purpose and value to your life, do something for other people. Serve other people. That's the way you were made. That's where you'll find fulfillment, is doing things for other people. The last reason why we should serve, and this one is problematic sometimes for people, because once I start to discover that God's empowered me, he's called me, I'm special, I have a purpose, we set our sights on something we want to do, and then it doesn't happen. We're not allowed in there. For some reason, we're not allowed to be on that team or serve in that ministry, and then we get mad because I want to be on that team. And you know what Paul says here? He says in verse 11 that he apportions to each one individually as he wills. That means that God comes in and he says, all right, I want you over here taking care of that. And I want you over here, and I want you taking care of that. But I don't want to be over here taking care of that, God. I want to be over there taking care of that. That looks more fun. God says, that's not what I have for you. And we get mad when that happens because, but I want to be on the worship team. Why can't I be on the worship team? I want to be up there on the platform singing for everybody. That's where I want to be. Or I want to be on the altar team. I want to be standing up here, people coming to me for prayer requests. I want to show my intercessory skills. I want to be serving that role. Or I want to be standing on the platform and making announcements and telling things. And I want to be teaching people. I want to have that kind of impact on people. And you know what's funny? I hear people complain about not being involved in those roles. I never hear anybody say, why can't I be on the children's ministry team? Why can't I help clean up the bathrooms? Why can't I shovel the snow? Because if we're honest with ourselves, really what's happening there is we're not wanting to serve. We're wanting to be seen. We're wanting to be noticed. We're wanting other people to think that we're something significant. You don't need other people to think you're significant. You're significant already without anybody else noticing. And so that means, that doesn't mean that I don't try. It doesn't mean I don't offer. It doesn't mean that sometimes some human being is getting in the way of what God wants me to be doing. That happens sometimes. But if you are genuinely trying to seek to do what God's purpose is for your life, and it just keeps not happening, then at some point I have to step back and say, you know what? I think this isn't what God has for me right now. And it might be hard because maybe you really, really want that thing. But I need to decide that I'm willing to do whatever God's role is for me rather than insisting on it being something that I want to be doing. And again, that goes back to right up to the top. Can I be a part of a team? Because could you imagine if the offensive line at the start of the game stood up and said, you know, I want to be throwing the ball. If all five of them just stood up and said, no, I want to throw the ball. The quarterback would be lost, right? Because he's going to get nailed because they serve a very important purpose. That's why NFL quarterbacks will often buy expensive gifts for their linemen at the end of the year because they know that they are serving a very important role. They never get named MVP, never. Nobody usually knows their name, but they serve a very, very important role. And are you willing to be a team player even if you're not getting any attention? Even if nobody else thinks that you're anything significant, are you willing to be a team player? So I want us to pray about that this morning. Are you a team player? As far as what the church is and what it is that God expects of us, are you a team player this morning? Worship team, if you'd come prepare to lead us, and if you would stand with me as we prepare to seek him this morning. And we have something that we're going to close with the service this morning. That's why I've either intentionally or accidentally allowed for a little extra time here today. But I want you, as the worship team begins to lead us, I want you to really think about this. Are you a team player? Look at what you are doing. Look at the way you're serving within the body of Christ. Look at the way you're interacting with other people socially. Look at the attitude that you have towards the group as a whole and the individuals in it. This morning before God, are you a team player? Are you a part of the team? Again, the church grows when each part is properly working. If God were to hook up a diagnostic machine to Bethel Assembly of God, would the error code go to you? Is there something not right in the way that you are within the body of Christ? Are you a team player this morning? And there could be any number of reasons why you're not there. Maybe you misunderstand what this whole church thing is about. Maybe you think it's all about me, 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 me. You know, give me something. That's what people will say sometimes when they leave church services. They'll say, I didn't get anything out of that. Because they thought what church was to meet their needs. And sometimes that is, and we do work with each other to help support each other. But that's not all this is about. It's about serving other people. Maybe you weren't aware of that. Or maybe you just don't think you're capable. You just don't think that you have the ability to impact anybody. You don't think there's anything special about you. You're wrong. There is. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And do you think that your age has taken God by surprise? Do you think that your introvertedness or your shyness has taken God by surprise? Do you think that your inability to speak? Moses tried to get out of it that way, didn't he? I can't speak right, God. That's why I can't do this. Do you think any of your flaws and any of your inabilities and any of your limitations has taken God by surprise? God doesn't make junk. And he made you for a purpose. But maybe it's that insecurity that's kept you from surrendering to His will. Maybe it's been that you've been so consumed with exclusively thinking about your needs that you can't even for a moment stop to think about meeting the need of somebody else. And that could be enslaving, can't it? That could just consume every bit of who you are. And the Lord can set you free from that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom or there is liberty. He can set you free from, even if you still have to deal with those burdens, even if you still have to face some of those hardships, He can set you free from the distraction of it. Or maybe you've been insisting on, no, I'm only going to help if I do this thing. Again, that's not a team player. I don't know if you realize this, you don't get to choose your role. I mean, you could choose what you volunteer in, but ultimately it is God that's choosing your role. It's amazing to think about that God may have very well chosen your height to accent the purpose He has for you. The color of your hair, the way that you look, your build, your tone of voice. When He made you in the womb, God is not lacking a purpose in anything. Every single thing about you, God created for a purpose. Why fight against it and try to demand doing things your own way? Surrender to the plan and purpose that God has for your life. But are you willing to do that? Because it's scary sometimes. It is absolutely terrifying at times to do what, remember Jonah, he tried to get out of it too, didn't he? He said, I'm out. I'm not having anything to do with this. Now, sometimes God doesn't send big fish to get us. Aren't you glad? But He might send a lot of the convicting of the Holy Spirit, or He might send a stubborn pastor after you to do it. But God has a plan for your life. But you have to choose. Even when Jonah was spit up on the shore, he still could have walked away. He had to choose. He had to choose. Are you willing to surrender to God's plan for your life? He wants to help you. He wants to set you free to do it. And that's where the joy of living, that's where the peace and the confidence in living is found, is surrendered to His purpose for your life. And so if you need help with that, you need freed from something, then these altars are open. As the worship team leads, will you come and seek Him and be empowered today? Thank you, Lord. If you would, heads bowed and eyes closed. I know that the Lord was putting His finger on the heart of some of you. And I would like to pray that the fruit of that would take place in your life. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you'd say, and whatever it is that you've had in your mind, that you've had a sense that you should be doing, but it's your insecurities that have held you back, or just you're just not sure how it's supposed to play out. Maybe it's the pain and the issues of your life that have been keeping you distracted from it, but it's been sitting there in your mind, knowing I need to jump on that. I want to pray that the Lord would give you the freedom and the assurance to step up to the plate and walk in that thing. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you and you'd like me to pray that for you, would you lift your hand to Him? Good. A few hands up. Good. Anybody else? Good. Lord Jesus, You see these that have raised their hand before You. And I ask right now that You would help order their steps. Sometimes we just don't know how to get started, or we don't know precisely. We have a general idea, but we don't know the specific idea. And I ask that right now You would begin the process of revealing to them the next step, that You would help them to see what it is that they should do first, and that You would give them every bit of the confidence that they need to step into that, that You would give them every bit of the humility they need to keep going gently when there's obstacles, challenges to it. Give them the tenacity to go fully after Your will. And help them, Lord, set them free from their health issues, their financial issues, whatever things that are of concern and weighing them down, Lord. Give them the freedom to be able to walk in Your purpose for their lives. Lord, You told us to take Your yoke and Your burden upon us, which is the burden of the kingdom of God. And you said, because it is easy and light. Not that there's really anything easy about the kingdom. Not that it's not significant, it's eternally significant. But doing the work of the ministry is what God wants to empower us to do. And when we step into that, there's every bit of the flow and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Lord, bring that into every one of us. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came upon each individual as if tongues of fire. And the power of the Holy Spirit began to be at work in their lives, and they reached thousands, thousands for Christ. We want to be used that same way, Lord. Help us. Help us to humbly accept whatever role you have for us, and help us to walk in the purposes that you have for our lives. We ask, Lord, as we do what we're about to do and then move on to food and other things, help us, Lord, to walk in your purposes for our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So